This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. Hi, it's John Williams. Pete Zimmerman's the producer on Wednesdays. Terry Savage, the financial columnist, is our guest. And today, we've got her for the hour. I'll just finish the conversation I was having with Steve Alexander with this note. And this is maybe why I just was surprised, not doubting the information Steve gave, that 80% of Twitter accounts are not in the United States. 80% of Twitter users are not in the U.S. Forbes, a couple of years ago, had an article headlined 10% of Twitter users create 80% of the tweets. I'll bet that Americans are disproportionately active on Twitter. Maybe it's just my own bias because I'm an American using Twitter. Maybe people in China are saying this too. But 10% of Twitter users create 80% of the tweets.
I believe that.
Yeah. It's there's an adage in business about that, right? 80% of your business will come from 20% of your customers, or 80% of your complaints will come from 20% of your customers. Terry Savage probably knows what that adage is. She's pretty good with those. Hi, Terry.
Well, they may be outside the United States. Maybe they're not tweeting as much, but they may be following. And that's, you know, a lesson all of us on the law of big numbers. The fact is that our communications are amplified, which people tend to think that only their immediate group is following them. But the picture that people get of America is enhanced by the fact that people do follow. I want to give you another number.
Okay.
Wait, Steve, stay on the line. A survey just out today, now this is mind-boggling, that 75% of Americans were targeted by scammers in 2020, with millennials the most targeted demographic group, but that during the same period, more than 50 billion, with a B, 50 billion spam calls were made to Americans in 2020. Of those 50 billion, 29 of them were reminding me that my warranty was up. And 60% of those calls were fraudulent. And more than 7% of the people lost over $500 as a result of scam calls. And 40% of all the people that responded reported losing money to phone scams last year, an average of $182 a person. 50 billion spam phone calls.
Yeah. That's
I'm surprised that the millennials were the most targeted. I figured it would be the older crowd.
Yeah, I would think so because, you know, as I've always said, I'm going to put me in that. We grew up saying, be polite, dear. Be polite. Answer the phone, dear. Be nice.
Yeah.
The only way to deal with a spam call is to either have a caller ID. Now you're often notified that it's potential spam,
yeah,
and just don't answer it. Or get one of those services. Or if you happen to pick it up, please do not hang up. Hang up immediately. That's your first indication that you should hang up immediately.
Yeah, if the first voice you hear is, hello, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's that sort of automated, friendly voice, and it's there to tell you, I've gotten that call too, Terry, that your warranty is up, and I don't have a warranty. All right. It's amazing, though, that those scams work, but I guess if you drop 50 billion lines in a pond, you're going to come up with some fish. You don't need them all to hit, right?
Exactly, and when people hit, I mean, that's real money to people, average of $182 to people, but almost 10% losing more than $500. It's just... So it's a reminder that everybody's worried about their internet connections. Your phone, even if it's a landline, your old-fashioned phone, can be the doorway to fraud.
We are going to...
Is that a bad way to start?
I think it's always helpful. Let's do this. We'll pause here, update our listeners on some market numbers and traffic. We'll come back. Terry will start taking your calls. She did post just yesterday, a column about free tax filing help. We are certainly in tax season, so we'll pick it up there in just a minute. 312-981-7200. This is WGN. Terry Savage at terrysavage.com is on the line. Terry, you wrote about filing your income taxes. Before we take calls, what jumps out for our listeners?
Well, two or three things. First of all, I always hate talking about taxes. My first subject I really hate, and I always try and put it off till the first week of April. But don't do that this year. It's really important to file early, and millions more people will be filing because your 2020 tax return is your way to get any stimulus payments that you didn't get before that you deserve based on your 2020 income. So last year, it's hard to, not even a year ago, they sent out the $1,200 checks. They look back to old returns. You might have earned too much then, but now you might qualify based on 2020 income under $75,000 single, $150,000 joint. So you must file that 2020 tax return, even if you're a senior and you don't earn enough to be required to file. You know, if you're a senior earning under $14,050, then you don't have to file. $7,400 is the filing limit on a joint return for two people over 65. So, but you want to file anyway, because on line 30, as we've said many times, if you didn't get the first stimulus or the second or both or got a partial stimulus, you can get the refundable credit. So that's the most important thing I can tell you. The second most important thing is you must file electronically. I know you always did it on paper. I know you're scared. But if you file electronically, you can put in your bank information, your direct deposit information, and they will look at your return first, and you'll get your refund or your stimulus credit very, very quickly. So file electronically. And finally, there are a lot of people who think this is, you know, I'm going to have to pay someone. That's not true. If your income is under $72,000, you can qualify for free filing help. You can go to irs.gov/free file. So that means, yep, you're going to be involved a little bit in the computer, but it will link you to places, or you can go to HR Block or Jackson Hewitt, or you can get free help at TurboTax. But you have to start the process right now. There's going to be an electronic component, even if you go into one of those offices. A lot of people don't want to mask up and go into an office, so you can do this online, and you can get that money back quickly, but you can't hide till April 14th. None of that stuff anymore. Do it right now. Get your money back right now.
Let's pick up some phone lines. Here we go, 312-981-7200. Sue, you're first. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Well, I have a question. My daughter-in-law has not worked for many years, but she has a student loan. They've only been married 2 years. She has a student loan. It's at least 15 years old. I don't even think she's ever paid on it. And my son was told to file married filing separately, and that cost him a couple of thousand dollars. Can they garnish that? This is somebody trying to get a collection agency that gave him this advice, and he followed it last year, much to my dismay. And can they garnish his refund?
Not if he didn't file a tax return with her. Look, the fact is that when you marry someone, you marry their credit report. I wrote a book with two of my friends, a divorce court attorney and divorce court judge. It's called The New Love Deal. And we stress how important it is to reveal your credit situation before you get married. They should have waited to get married. I don't know how she has a student loan and didn't work for many years, and he thought it was a good idea to mingle his credit with hers. And if, in fact, she signs on the rental agreement for an apartment or on a mortgage for the house, then he's going to be exposed. So right now, the number one thing she must do is get her financial situation straightened out, because it's going to catch up with him, and it's going to bite both of them, and to the extent that their credit's in any way intermingled, even on a utility bill contract or if he co-signs for a car, he's going to be in trouble. And she, they'll find her. She may have forgotten what her student loan was, but I guarantee you they haven't forgotten about her. So I think maybe you want to contact Consumer Credit Counseling Services. This will be nonprofit, and they're experts. 800-388-2227. That connects you to the nearest local office, and if they're in the Chicago area, they can do this on the phone. You got to search out. In my book, it tells you how to find your historic student loans at the Student Loan Debt Records Keeping Agency, and she's got to deal with this.
And filing separate, but if you file separate, if you don't file married joint,
well,
that doesn't insulate you from that?
Well, that will keep any refund from being garnished, but it is expensive, and it's just postponing the problem. That's like saying, well, I have only a little bit of cancer. I'll scrape the top part off.
Okay, but what about this, Terry?
Hold on.
But Sue, how much money are we talking about? Do you know?
I think it's like $40,000.
I've not heard of the government garnishing people's wages for student loans. Does that happen, Terry?
No, but it depends. If it's a private student loan, it'll go to a collection agency. They don't let you just get away with it, and the interest builds up. So it's time to turn around and confront this. I'm really serious about it. It's like you're telling me that you have a diagnosis of a little bit of cancer, so you're going to wait. That's just not the way the system works.
Okay.
Well, it
I'm
is.
Dying to know how the mother-in-law knows, but the son didn't know or doesn't care.
No, he loves it. He takes homeless people in.
True love does not conquer all, and it doesn't conquer the IRS.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Sue, you got a nice boy there. You got to get them the financial help they need. That number is 1-800-388-2227. 1-800-388-2227. I'm going to go from Sue. Good luck, Sue, to Kathy. You're on WGN. Kathy, what can we do for you?
Hi, Terry. I listen to you all the time and love your advice. I would like to know, I have heard that you can only put a certain amount of cash in a savings deposit box, and if that's true, why?
Safe deposit box, yeah.
Yes.
You mean just in a safe deposit box?
Yeah.
You're not talking about insured deposits in a bank?
No, she's talking about physical, you're putting about dollar bills?
You know what? Watch this. Then all the mafia would be turning over in their graves or their pre-graves. Look. Typically, you don't want to keep cash because even at only earning like 1/100% interest, which won't last long, rates will go up. You know, the cash loses value. You can put anything you want in a safe deposit box as long as it doesn't rot and smell. However, on your death, and it used to be that happened when your death was reported in the news, a bank can seal your safe deposit box. Now, if you have it in joint name with someone else, that person can go take the key and go get whatever you've been hiding in there. So there's not a limit on how much cash you can put in there, but how much cash does it make sense to have locked in the vault in the bank? Well, right now it doesn't bother you too much because you're not earning much interest, but at some point you don't want it there.
Right.
With negative interest rates, you're actually coming out ahead if you...
We don't have that, thank goodness.
Not yet. Okay, thanks for the call, Kathy. Good luck to you. This texter says, thank you, Terry Savage. I got both my stimulus payments credited to my taxes using line 30. I'm waiting for a refund. And that's the
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And please, Terry, how necessary, or important is it to have a financial advisor handle my 401k because I'm planning to retire, but I'm worried about fees?
Okay, so you know I have this thing about having fee-only fiduciary financial advisors who will give you advice not based on what they want to sell you. And the person planning to retire is like the ripest plum on the tree for financial salespeople who know that you're likely to move it out of your company account where they mostly have growth opportunities for younger people, and you're not there at the company anymore, so you're likely to, quote, roll it over, and they want to roll it over. They want you to roll it over into their clutches where they earn juicy fees, commissions, and hidden costs and so forth. So go to terrysavage.com. On the top right in those four little boxes, one of them says find a financial planner. That's a link to WealthRamp. I get nothing out of this, but I wanted you to be able to get there quickly, or just go to WealthRamp.com. There you can do a matching session. It's like Match.com for fee-only fiduciary financial advisors who've been carefully vetted. These are the people you want to talk to. That's how you make your decisions about doing a rollover. Or B, you can just call Vanguard or Fidelity. They will help you roll over that account without taking the money from your old 401k to a new IRA rollover at Vanguard or Fidelity. And you make the decisions. Half in a balanced fund, some in an equity income fund, some maybe in a money market fund. But that's what you do when you retire. You roll it over and you either get help that you can trust or you just do it on your own, which is not that hard to do.
Hmm. TerrySavage.com is her website. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. More of your questions and comments and calls. I'm John Williams. Terry Savage, our Wednesday guest, all the way until 1 o'clock in the Anna DeVlantis Show. An interesting array of questions and calls here this afternoon. Should I still be paying on student loans, even though it's not required? I presume they're talking about forbearance right now. What do you advise if you don't have to make payments right now?
Yeah, if you can afford it. If you can afford it, you want to pay down the balance. So, sure, go ahead and do that. Right now, and we're at an interesting moment, and I've written about that, there's a proposal to actually forgive, you know, Chuck Schumer's proposal, it's not just any proposal, and Elizabeth Warren, to forgive $50,000 worth of student loans. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that, and I don't think it would be fair, but I do think something will be done because there are an awful lot of student loans that are still collecting interest at a rate of 8%. So there may be some adjustments made. But, you know, it's your debt, and I think if you can afford it, it's not accruing interest right now, so more of your payment goes to principal. So I would keep paying on schedule if you're still earning on schedule.
Yeah, here's my editorial comment about that. $50,000 is outright divisive. That's just a bad idea because it'll make people furious. $10,000, have a conversation about that. But giving people a $50,000 check who have a student loan is crazy right now. I'm done. Okay,
that's not happening. Don't worry about it.
I know that. So why are they even saying it? I'll stop. 815 says,
prizes. Because there's, you know, I'm going to post a letter if I can figure out how to do it that Leon Cooperman, the billionaire who's an incredible philanthropist, wrote in response to an Elizabeth Warren tweet about how we should, you know, off with their heads with a wealth tax. We need some education out there about what creates economic growth and about personal responsibility. So you and I are going to go have a drink on that. Let's answer people's questions.
815 says, my future daughter-in-law has $400,000 in college debt. She received some bad advice. A lot of the loans are private. Should she contact credit counseling services? Are there any other options?
The loans are private, but the obligation to pay is not dischargeable in bankruptcy. She needs more than credit counseling, the traditional credit counseling. Have her send me an email, Terry at terrysavage.com. I'm trying to think of where to send her. $400,000 is insane. Do not get married. Please don't let them have a wedding. Have them live together. Don't let them have babies. Don't let them get married because she needs to resolve this. And if there's, I mean, that's too big an amount. Private lenders don't typically make concessions or refinance at lower rates. I'm not quite sure what the solution is to someone who is that hugely buried,
well,
but marriage is not the answer.
Noodle on that. We'll let you work with this person maybe off the air. But how about this one? I think maybe people can more relate to this. Steve, you're on WGN. How can we help you, Steve?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. My quick question to you is, I have a credit card I've used in my business for years. My wife is not on it. We've been married 42 years. She's never been on it, never used it. If something happens to me, is she liable for that balance that is due on that credit card?
If she never signed it, never used it, no, she's not liable.
Never. Now, 25 years ago, I think one time I had to get something from Home Depot. She ran over there for me, but never, never.
One of the things you want to do is pull your credit report from all three bureaus and see where her credit is reported as well as where your credit is reported. It may either inadvertently, as you signed up years, I doubt that she's responsible, but it would be interesting to pull her credit report, see if that credit card shows up on her credit report.
It's an interesting call, and that's good advice. Okay, Steve, good luck to you. This is Pat. You're on WGN, or Patty. Hey, Patty, how can we help you? You're on the air. Hi, Patty. We'll come back to Patty on line three, and we'll go to Joyce then. Joyce, you're on the air. How can we help you, Joyce?
Hi. I just recently went to have my taxes done and was told that I don't have a tax liability that I don't need to file because I'm under the $14,000 and some odd change, whatever that limit is. I had already done my RMD, and he said I could go ahead and still take out another $3,000 and not have any tax liability because I'd still be under the $14,000 limit. And he advised me to take that out and then reinvest it because I won't have to pay any taxes on it, just on any gains I would make the following year on that reinvestment. Is that good advice?
That's very sophisticated advice for a small amount of money. I want to ask you something first. Did you get your stimulus payment, both of them?
Hold on a second. I want to make sure we bring the same line back up.
Joyce?
I think that's Joyce on line two. Joyce, what was your answer to that?
Yes. I just got the $600 one not too long ago.
Uh-huh. And you got the original one?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's the point. You can... How old? Can I ask how old you are? Nobody knows but you and me. What's your name?
I'm 72, and he just said every year, if I can, take out that additional $3,000 because it's tax-free, and then reinvest it. And so
I've got
an appointment
with
my...
You can't reinvest it. You cannot... Here's the point. Yes, you might as well take out the money on which you don't have to pay income taxes, and you can put it in the bank. But you do want to keep a big hunk of your money growing tax deferred. But at age 72, it would be nice to have, when he says reinvest it, I think the answer is put it in a money market account in the bank where it won't earn much. So I don't know how much total you have in your IRA, but as long as you don't have to pay taxes on it, you're under the filing limit. That's a very creative, good idea. But doesn't mean just because you took it out tax-free because you're not obligated to pay taxes does not mean you're obligated to spend it this year. So you can build up a savings account, a money market account at your bank. Okay?
Nice advice. Joyce, thanks for the call. Good luck to you. It's 1244. Okay, a couple of things we want to do here, and then a last batch of calls for Terry. Several of you have questions about fraud, and we'll let Terry answer those next. First, the business news continues on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Governor Pritzker is expected to present a state budget without a state income tax hike. His proposal will reportedly close $900 million in corporate tax loopholes and redirect some revenue streams to the state's general fund. His office is projecting a $3 billion deficit for the budget year starting July 1st. That's down from an earlier projection of $5.5 billion. A ballot measure to raise the state's income tax on higher earners was rejected by voters last November. Chicago Bulls great Michael Jordan is listed as one of the 50 biggest donors in the U.S. last year, according to the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos came in at number one. All combined, the top 50 contributed just shy of $25 billion to charity last year. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. Okay, Terry, ready for more phone calls?
Ready to go. Let's do it.
Okay, let's pick up with Jerry. I think we can help you pretty quickly here, Jerry. You're
Hello.
On WGN. Hi.
This is Jerry. I've got a quick question. Actually, first off, IDES, that is what used to be known as unemployment compensation.
Yeah.
That's the office of Illinois Department of Employment Security.
Okay, well, anyway, I drive a truck. I get a call from my boss about 2 weeks ago. He says, what's all this? I got a letter here asking them to confirm that I'm unemployed. And I told him right away, he thought I was pulling.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, you're a winner.
You're a winner. You're a victim of identity theft. So you need to report this in half a dozen different places. If you go to terrysavage.com on the homepage on the right-hand side, about halfway down, you'll see identity theft, do this. Click on that link. It'll give you links to report everywhere. There's now an online fraud report you can put in at IDES.
And what was your website again?
Terry Savage, TerrySavage.com, right on the homepage, identity theft, do this. And it's a link to all the places, to the FBI where you should report it, and also a way to freeze your credit at all three credit bureaus so that no new accounts are opened in your name. But it gives you a whole explanation. But you're not alone. And the next thing you may receive, Jerry, is a 1099 from the Illinois Department of Employment Security saying, okay.
I remember hearing you say that,
So you have to be careful about that.
That covers it.
Well, you're not alone, and I'm sorry to hear that. My boss has had to go through the rigmarole. It's rampant, and all you can do is put your head down and get through it. Terry's website and that information has been invaluable to thousands of people. Good luck. 708, I received unemployment benefits along with the extra $600 stimulus. I know my unemployment is taxable. Is the $600 stimulus taxable as well?
No, that is not taxable. Not the first $1,200, not the current $600, nor anything else that comes down the pike in the future.
Mary is next. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Mary. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I have a quick question. My husband and I are both unemployed, and we do have retired, and we did receive unemployment because we did have a part-time job. Unfortunately, neither my husband or I had taxes taken out. I just started doing my tax on TurboTax, and I'm owing, I usually get a refund, and I'm owing quite a bit of money back to the government. Does Terry have any hints of anything I can do, or is it too late?
No, there's nothing you can do now. Did you get your stimulus check?
Yes.
Both of them?
Yes.
You got
yes.
the $1,200 and the $600?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody wants to pay less in taxes to the government. Nobody likes having money withheld. A lot of people took the option of having some withholding, at least from their unemployment benefits. Now you owe the government money, and if you can't come up with all the cash, you have to work out a payment plan with them, and they charge interest. So a TurboTax, you know, has Live Help too, so they can help you work out a proposal to pay quarterly over the year ahead. But no, you got to pay that tax. There's no way to do away with it.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, good luck, Mary. Sorry about that. Wish the news was better. Rich, you're on WGN. How can we help you, Rich? You're on the air.
Hey, hello, Terry. My question is, full retirement age, still working, collecting Social Security, is there a limit of the amount of money I should be having deducted for Social Security?
No. First of all, you'll pay. Are you talking about paying taxes on your earnings at work? You'll pay full Social Security taxes. If you could have, it would have been wise to delay taking Social Security till age 70 just because you get an 8% boost in your check each year. So if you just signed up, you can see if you can reverse that. But basically, there's no limit on how much you can earn. There's no penalty for earning more. And if you're still working, you're still liable for your side of FICA.
No. Okay, so there's no limitation. I mean, I shouldn't, like, say at FICA, I should only contribute so much.
Are you self-employed?
No.
Okay, so your boss will deduct Social Security taxes from your paycheck and withholding taxes. And there's no, just because you're collecting Social Security and you want to go out and make $300,000 a year, go, God bless you, go keep it. I never heard anyone complain that they had too much money in retirement.
But I've heard people say, no, but I can't work anymore because I'm on Social Security and something's going to happen. I'm going to have to pay something or something's going to kick in.
No. If you're under full retirement age, there is an earnings penalty, but for many reasons, you should wait at least till full retirement age. And if you're still working, it's a smart move to delay taking.
But if you're over retirement age, and what's that age, Terry?
Well, it's about 67. It's about to get to 67. Right now it's 66 and I think 10 months this year. But your full retirement age is defined by your birth date, and you can find that at socialsecurity.gov.
Wow. I don't know if we've ever put out so much information in 1 hour. We'll do it again next Wednesday. TerrySavage.com for all that extra information, links, and phone numbers. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. See you next week.
Okay.